Hi, Women of Strength. Before we jump into today's episode, I just wanted to share something that's really close to my heart. If you're planning a VBAC or even just starting to think about one, you don't have to piece everything together on your own. You don't have to find every blog or hunt down a specific podcast episode. The VBAC Link Parent Prep Course was created by our founders, Julie and Megan, who are doulas and VBAC moms themselves. I actually took it when I was preparing for my own VBAC, long before I was a host of the podcast, just as a mom who needed clarity, confidence, and evidence-based information. So I can say, from a personal standpoint, that I know you'll love it. We also have a VBAC birth plan guidebook with a drag and drop template, and that's the exact template I used for my own VBAC birth. It made communicating with my care team so much more smooth. So if you're looking for practical, supportive VBAC prep from people who truly get it, you can find both the course and the guidebook at thevbaclink.com. All right, let's get into today's episode. Hello, Women of Strength. Welcome back to the VBAC Link. I am Lily, and I'm joined today by my lovely, amazing co-host and our mini co-host, Paige and Jack. And we are so excited to join you today and hear from our amazing, incredible friend, Bree. She just shared her story with us. We're recording this after the fact. And oh my gosh, you guys, her story is so amazing. And she just like lights up when she talks about it.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those that it's energetic and fun. It'll get you ready for an empowering, exciting birth experience, however it goes, VBAC or however. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was beaming the whole time because she's beaming the whole time. She's so great. Transferring late in her third trimester to a birth center and then having some stuff that felt like her first birth, but it wasn't the same outcome. And I think that's so powerful. And gosh, and she's just a gem, so.
And she works with kids, teaching health.
Oh, baby Jack.
Okay.
This is real life, you guys. This is real life.
This is real life. Jack was napping and is not napping anymore, so that's why he's joining us. But anyway, yeah, Bree, making waves in the birth world and outside of the birth world, too, by talking about birth with her junior high students.
So. Yeah. She's amazing. Before we get into it though, Paige, tell us about your life. How are you? We want to do a little chit chat catch up so that you all get to know us a little bit more too, as we continue on this journey. So.
Yeah, I'm doing great. My oldest was just voted as the school treasurer and he is now on the student council. He was so excited to campaign for that. So proud of him. And he has his first meetings every week that he takes very seriously. Wow. So that's exciting. And then I also went to a birth last week, which was so fun and wonderfully just beautiful. First-time parents, I love seeing first-time parents go through that birth journey together. It's so fun to see them get closer together. And the spouse was an amazing support throughout the whole time, refused to leave her side. And she just had so much power, a beautiful, unmedicated delivery, a very intense one, which can be difficult to watch for all the support for the whole team involved. But she coped beautifully. And as a doula, one of my favorite things is becoming when they look to you and you see kind of the fear try to creep in their eyes. And then after, by the end of the contraction, they have melted. I think that's become something that is really powerful about doula work, to see that in action.
Yeah. What about you, Lil? You had a big weekend.
I did have a big weekend. So at the time of recording, this is back in November. I know we're listening to this in February, but my VBAC baby just turned one. She turned one yesterday. So we had her birthday party on her actual birthday, which was really special and sweet. Her fairy first birthday. She's like giving me all the girl mom life. And I texted Paige the like banner that I hand painted. And it was great. We had a big balloon arch and she's so different than my first. Like my first is very like, he cried when we sang happy birthday. Like he's very, doesn't like to be the center of attention. And Matilda was just like, it's my birthday. Hello, everybody. Thank you for coming to my party. And she's my baby, you know, she's mine for sure. So she was so fun. She is. And then
she was wearing,
I know, so fairy.
And then, yeah. And then last weekend I was also at a birth. You and I like switched days because I was at a birth on Saturday and I think you were at a birth on Sunday. So yeah, it was so sweet. Also first time parents, unmedicated. She did so great. And I think one of my favorite moments is if a mom asks for an epidural and I'm like, I think you should do a cervical check first. Like, I think you're in transition. And sure enough, she was like complete and it was so great. And her husband were just the sweetest, sweetest couple. And then I went to their postpartum visit and I never hold babies at postpartum visits. Like, I'm here to hold the mother, right? Like, that's our job. But I walked in the door and she's like, here's the baby. And I was like, oh my gosh, what a gift to get to hold a newborn, you know? And so that was really fun. I'll never say no. Like, if you want me to hold your baby, I will hold your baby.
But if you want us to hold your baby, we'll hold your baby.
Yes. I'm never going to ask. I'm never going to ask you, can I hold your baby? But if you want me to hold your baby and you give your baby to me, I mean, I might walk out the door with that baby.
Agreed.
All right. Well, we're so excited to get into Bree's story. Paige, before we do that, we have a review of the week. And then after our intro, we'll be back with Bree.
Okay, this review is from Rebecca Jensen on Apple Podcasts, and it's titled Love. I love the VBAC link. They give away so much free information, which is so rare these days. I'm hoping to have a VBAC, and hearing this podcast gives me hope. I also purchased the course, and I'm excited to learn. Thank you, Megan, for sharing your wisdom with us. And you're so welcome. If you don't know, sorry for all the background noise.
That's okay. That's really
if you don't know, we do have a course, and it is on our website. We will attach it in the show notes. And if you want to be prepared as possible for a VBAC, definitely check out the course because it will empower you with all the ways to prepare your mind, body, spirit, all the things. And
yeah, I worked here and I took the course.
Yeah, same. And to help you process your previous birth too. So highly recommend.
Same. And if you don't know this, Paige and I worked here before we were hosting. So if you're just now starting to tune in and you're like, you took your own course before? Our founders, Julie and Megan, are on the course. And then Paige and I worked here. And so we took the course. So if you didn't know, we are the newer co-hosts of the podcast. And so Megan and Julie.
Preparing for our, yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Amazing. Well, we'll be back after our intro with Bree. We can't wait for you to hear it.
Hi, I'm Lily.
And I'm Paige. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast.
We're moms and doulas who know firsthand that birth after cesarean isn't always straightforward. I'm a miscarriage and ectopic mom who went on to have a hospital water birth VBAC.
And I've had two CBACs and a planned maternal assisted cesarean.
Our experiences may be different, but our mission is the same, to make birth after cesarean better.
On this podcast, you'll hear powerful stories of VBACs, repeat cesareans, and CBACs from women around the world.
We'll also bring in expert insight, practical tools, and encouragement to help you feel informed and supported as you plan your next birth.
Whether you're preparing for a VBAC, choosing a repeat cesarean, or simply exploring your options, this space is for you.
Because every story matters, and we're here to remind you that you've got options, you've got support, and you're never alone.
The VBAC link is storytelling by nature. The stories on this podcast do not represent a universally best or safest option for everyone.
This podcast is intended to encourage and inform. It does not replace individualized advice from a qualified medical provider.
Hello, Women of Strength. Welcome back. We are here with Bree. We are so excited to hear her story today. So I'm going to read a little bit about her, and then we'll hand the time over to her to tell us her beautiful story. So Bree says that she is a middle school health and PE teacher and a high school basketball coach. Whoop, whoop. Mom of two. Preston, who is 2.5, and Portland, who is 6 months. She is a lover of sports and fitness and pre-babies, an avid traveler. So Bree, thank you so much for being on with us today. We are going to hand the time over to you, and we're so excited to hear your story.
Okay, thank you for having me. I'm actually really, really excited to share it. I feel like I share it all the time as soon as anybody asks about a birth. So I'm just like excited to officially like share my story with so many other people. So my first pregnancy, my son Preston, I was pregnant, maybe I found out September of 2024. We were so excited. Me and my boyfriend's both our first child. He was planned. So we got pregnant very easily. Everything felt like it was just going so like as planned. Everything was easy. And I actually went to the OBGYN that it was like a new one that I had just found. So I didn't really have a relationship with them. So I was kind of filling them out. I really wanted something that was closer to my job because I commute in our area. That's like a big thing. So it's like 40 minutes to get to work. So I'm like, I want something close to my job. I wasn't really concerned with how personable it was, which I feel like I know I should look for that and a doctor like that. But I was going there for maybe the first trimester, second trimester. Everything was fine. I felt like the appointments weren't really about me and the baby. They were just like, check, we did that. Check, we did that. Check, we did that. And I just was like, kind of wanted something more that was about me and personalized. So I kind of started thinking about like a birthing center or a home birth. And then my boyfriend wanted something natural. And I'm like, well, you're not the one having it, but okay, let's look into it. And then I actually had a friend who had a water birth. So I was like, let's look into that. That seems cool. And I found a birthing center that was like 45 minutes away. And I was like, in our area, the traffic, I don't think I want to swing that. So I found another one that was 5 minutes from my job. And I'm like, great. Didn't really do my research like I probably should and just went with the 5 minutes from my job. We're going to see if we can get into that. So I was about 28 weeks pregnant when I found that. And they stopped taking people at 32 weeks. So it was kind of a rush process. I got on their Zooms and visited their site and was like, yeah, let's do this. Like, I think I want to do this. So I just canceled all of my appointments with my OBGYN and they never reached back out to me and I never reached back out to them. It was like they were gone and I was going to this birthing center and my anemia levels actually dropped. And once you get below a certain level, you can't have your birth at the birthing center. So I worked through that. I had to drink beet juice and take iron pills and do all these things. And I still feel like my pregnancy is fairly easy. It's not major complications. And then we get to like 33 weeks and 34 weeks and 35 weeks. And they're like, okay, everything is good. I'm eating dates. I'm doing the red raspberry leaf tea. I'm doing all of the things. And we get to 40 weeks and there's nothing. And they're like, okay, we're not concerned. And at this point, I'm concerned because nobody ever tells you that this is like a normal thing. You think I should be popping my baby out around 36, 37 weeks. That's what it seems normal. And that's what we're sometimes told, that you're full term, you should have your baby. So about 40 weeks and like 5 days, I'm like so nervous. And I'm like, can we just do a membrane sweep? And they're like, well, we have never done the cervical check. Let's start there. So I'm like, okay, let's start there. I was 1 centimeter. So I'm like, okay, I'm excited again. That's some kind of progress. And then they didn't really want to do a membrane sweep. They felt like they wanted to give me until I was 41 weeks and to start some more like natural induction type things. So we wait. And then at 41 weeks, I'm like, I can't take it anymore. Can we just do a membrane sweep? Like, I need to feel like I'm doing something besides walking in drinking tea. So they did a membrane sweep and nothing happens. So we wait like 2 days. And now we're like on a crunch time because we're on like limited time now. That 42 weeks, I didn't know this was a thing, but at 42 weeks in the state of Virginia, it's illegal to have a baby at a birthing center. You have to do it at home or in a hospital. And so now in my mind, I'm like, oh no, I'm going to go to a hospital and all these bad things are going to happen. I'm not going to have this baby. So it's like a mental battle that I was feeling. And it was like, I have like 5 days to get this baby out. So I'm like trying everything. So I did the midwife's brew. We did castor oil with almond butter. And there's like a couple herbs and stuff we did and nothing happened. So at this point, I've had a membrane sweep and the castor oil and nothing's happened. So I think it's 41 weeks and like 2 or 3 days. And I'm like feeling already defeated. Like I haven't started labor. My water didn't break. And I'm like, something's wrong with my body. Like, what's going on? It's just like, so it's like a mental war with yourself that you're having. And so I'm like, what else can we do? I'm sitting there at the birth center in tears and they're just like, it's okay. Like you're not, nothing's wrong. Like we're just waiting. Maybe you just have a longer gestational period than other people. So they're trying to make me feel better. And I'm like, there has to be something. So they pull out this Foley balloon. And I'm like, okay, I'm listening to them explain the process. And I'm like, okay, I think I should try. At this point, I'm going to try anything. So I'm talking myself into it. And she's like, it's going to be very painful, but that's a good thing. That means you're getting closer to your birth. And I'm like, okay, at this point, let's just do it. We do the Foley balloon. It was the worst pain ever. So much pressure. Like, I just couldn't believe the amount of pain that I was experiencing and not going into labor. And so they explained to me that I just needed to get to 4 centimeters. And I was like, okay, let's just get to 4 centimeters. 4 centimeters, we can do this. And I'm like, I'm thinking magically in the car ride home, 40 minutes, I'm going to be at 4 centimeters. And they're like, no, it's going to slowly do it. And you have to pull the Foley cap, the Foley balloons that's hanging out of you. You have to pull that down every time feels like the pressure's not as strong, to make it stronger so that it softens your cervix. And I'm just like, okay, this is scary and it hurts. And I don't know how I made it home. Thank God my boyfriend is nice and he's very even tempered, where I am the excitable one. He's like, it's okay. You're okay. I think I'm in the car like, I'm going to have the baby and I'm really just trying to get to 4 centimeters. So we get home and I can handle the pain. I take a shower. The Foley balloon kind of like feels like it's falling out, which is what I guess it's supposed to do, which is a good sign. It means you got the 4 centimeters. And it's not really falling out, but I think my mind is telling me that it is. And after like 12 hours, I'm like, you know, this is just not worth it. I'm just going to cut it and take it out. So I cut it and take it out. I go to sleep. The next day I go to the birthing center and they're like, well, what happened? And I'm like, it just didn't seem worth it to me. The pain versus nothing happening. I was just like, it just wasn't worth it. So they're like, okay, let's do the midwife brew one more time. At this point, I think I have one or two more days left. I think I was like 41 weeks in like 4 or 5 days. So they did another membrane sweep and another round of midwife brew. And then nothing happened. And I was like, at this point, I'm panicking. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to go to a hospital and I'm not going to get the birth I wanted. And I'm already feeling traumatized and nothing has happened yet. And so now looking back at it, I'm like, wow, I probably psyched myself out of having a natural birth because my emotions were so strong. And I was just thinking like, I can't do it. I'm not doing it, when it hadn't started yet. I was already mentally checked out. So nothing happened. 41 weeks and 6 days comes and it goes. And the next day I go to the birthing center and they're like, well, it's 42 weeks and you have to go to the hospital. And I'm just like devastated. I'm just so devastated. I remember I had my hospital backpacks. I was the same bag I was hopefully going to take to the birthing center. So that was easy. I didn't have to think about that. And they're calling different hospitals that they have connections with. Like, hey, we have this lady who is 42 weeks and she needs to have her baby. And do you have a spot for her? The first two places they call are like, no, we don't. And then they call Fairfax Inova Hospital. And I wasn't there for this phone call. They said they were calling and that they had a spot for me. So I'm driving. It's probably another 45, 50 minute drive. And I'm just like, I remember just sitting in the car thinking, I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm going to have a C-section and it's going to be awful. And I don't know why I thought that. And my little sister, bless her heart, she's like so positive and so sweet. And she had a baby before me and she had a natural birth. And she's like, no, it's going to be okay. Like, you're going to do this. Like, you want this. You trained for this. Like, you can do it. And I'm just like, no, whatever. It's okay. Like, I know it's not going to happen. And I just, again, was feeling so defeated. So we get to this hospital. We have nowhere to go. We have no idea where to go. We're like reading the signs. We've never been there. And we're just like walking with our bags. Like, we just look lost. Like, I just remember looking like, I'm here to have my baby and I'm uncomfortable and I don't know anybody. I don't know the doctors. I don't know the nurses. All I know is that I'm 42 weeks really, really, really pregnant and I want my baby out and I want somebody to tell me that it's going to be okay, besides my boyfriend, because to me, he doesn't know. He's just being nice. He has to say that. So we go in and I remember I went to like the check-in table and the lady's like, you can't check in here. You don't have a doctor here. Like, we don't know you. Who are you? Like, they basically were just like, who are you? Like, why are you here to have a baby? Like, where'd you come from? So I'm explaining the whole story and they're like, okay, well, we have to take you. Like, you're 42 weeks pregnant. There's nothing you could do. Like, you go to the waiting room. So we go and we're in like the triage area and they do a cervical check and I'm 4 centimeters. And to me, I'm like, okay, great. Okay. I think that I'm going to feel positive about this again because they did it at the birthing center. And the last time I was like 2.5. So I'm like, okay, I got 2.5 more centimeters. I'm feeling like, okay, maybe I'm just being negative and I can change my attitude and that can kind of help start things going. Well, they didn't really talk to me after they did the cervical check and I was 4 centimeters. They were like, all right, you'll go upstairs. You're not really in active labor. You're just kind of here and you're 42 weeks. We won't send you home. And I remember just sitting in the room waiting and they hooked me up to all the machines and that was it. Nobody said anything. Nobody asked me if I wanted to be induced. Nobody asked me a plan or anything. And I just remember the only time I advocated for myself was saying, I want to do this as natural as possible for as long as possible. I don't want an epidural. And they were like, okay, that was it. I sit and watch TV and all of a sudden I'm like noticing that I'm starting to have contractions and I'm looking and I'm reading all the monitors and there's Pitocin and I'm just, nobody told me. Nobody said like, do you want this or do you know about this? Anything. I just was hooked up and there you go. And the contractions were so strong and I'm like, this is new. My water hasn't broken. I haven't lost my mucus plug. Like, this is totally new to me. I had nothing, no signs of labor. So to be having contractions, I'm like, what's happening? So I remember calling the nurse in and she's like, yes, you're on Pitocin. We're going to try and get your labor moving. But if you would like to get up and walk around, we can hook it up and they have like the Bluetooth monitors and I can like do laps around. And because I expressed that I wanted to be active. I'm just so used to moving and I knew that that would help the labor progress. So I'm trying to do all the things I remembered on the YouTube videos and that I trained for mentally. And for like 14, 15 hours, I was having the most painful contractions with the Pitocin. And it was rough. It was really rough. And on one of my laps around the floor, I got to a sign that says C-section recovery. And I just looked at that sign and I just had a feeling like I'm going to be over there. And I think that's when I started just like, you know, it is what it is. Let's just get this epidural and be pain-free and let my body do what it's going to do. Like I just
15 hours is so long unmedicated on Pitocin. Brie, that is grueling.
And the nurses were like, do you want the epidural? And I was like, no. Do you want the epidural? And I'm like, no. And then I just was like, I looked at my boyfriend and poor guy, he looked like he was the one with the Pitocin and the contraction. He's like, his eyes are red. He's so exhausted. He's like rubbing my back. We have the ice packs. We have the yoga ball. And I'm like, do you want me just to get the epidural? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, I just needed somebody else to say yes so that I could feel like I'm not a failure because I felt like I was failing at what I wanted to do. So once I got the epidural, it was just like, well, I can't feel anything. I can't move around. And now looking back, I'm like, at that point, my labor stalled. Like at that point, I knew that it was like, I'm not going to get what I want. And I stopped thinking about even giving like labor. I just was like, the baby will be here eventually.
Taking a quick break from our episode to share this important stat with you. Did you know a 2025 retrospective cohort study published in the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology found that doula care was associated with about a 15.6 increase in VBAC rates compared to those without doula support? Lily and I love doulas, and we are doulas. The VBAC Link was founded by doulas Julie Frankham and Megan Heaton, who created a comprehensive VBAC course for doulas. It's fully self-paced, completely virtual, and when you complete it, you're added to the VBAC Link doula directory. You'll also earn 8 ICEA continuing education hours and become a VBAC certified doula. And if you're a parent looking for a VBAC Link certified doula, you can find one at thevbaclink.com/findadoula. All right, let's get back to the episode.
So they came in, they did checks, and I was just like still 4 centimeters. And every time they did a check, it was just stuck at four. And they broke my water. And then I remember I slept for a couple hours. They came back and they had to break my waters again. I'm guessing like it, they didn't break them good the first time. So like it kind of closed back up and they had to do it again.
That can happen. You have like 2 layers of a water bag. And so sometimes they can break it and either they broke the first layer and not that secondary layer, or sometimes they break it, but then your baby's head reengages and it like stops up the hole or something like that.
So that happened and I'm just like, well, I guess I'll just go to sleep a couple more hours. And I think like another 14 hours passed. I was in, I guess, labor for about 30 hours. And I remember I was sleeping and I woke up. There was like 10 people in the room and all the monitors are beeping and they're like trying to roll me over. And I'm like panicking, but I can't move my legs. I can't feel my legs. And I'm like, is everything okay? And they're like, the heart dropped below like 50 or 60 and we need to have a C-section right now. Like we cannot wait any longer. I think at that point I was 6 centimeters into my head. I'm like, this is great news, but I'm being treated like this, something bad is happening. So I'm like, okay, do whatever you need to do. I'm not questioning anything at all. I'm just like, you guys, at this point, I'm just trusting the doctors because I don't know what's happening. And they get me ready for surgery. And I remember just laying on the table with all the bright lights thinking, how did this happen to me? Like, I felt like I was being punished and I don't know why, because so many women get C-sections and so many women don't have them planned and we're not being punished. Like, people are trying to help us, but you feel like defeated. And I don't know if it was the cold in the room or me mentally, but I just was shaking. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be okay. And you know, it takes some time for your partner to get prepped for operation.
Yeah.
So you're in there by yourself. It almost
feels like they're going to start without them.
It's forever. And I remember I just was like hysterical crying, like he's going to miss it. And I'm all alone and I'm cold. And they just start to C-section and I feel all the tugging and all the pressure. And I'm telling them like, I can feel the pain. And they're like, no, you can't. It's just pressure. And I'm like, no, you're touching me on my right side. I can feel it. So I'm like, they're pumping me with all this medicine. And it's just like, it's traumatizing. It's really hard to go through. Even if you have planned, I feel like it's still something that's like, this has happened to me and I'm awake and I know what's going on the other side of that curtain. And it's just, it just like breaks you down mentally and physically. So my son comes out, he's perfectly fine. I hear him cry from the side and I'm just like relieved that it's over. Everything was perfectly fine. I healed normally. We went home maybe 2 days later. My boyfriend was out actually living in Florida at the time. So 5 days after birth, he had to go back home and go to work. So I was just by myself. Well, I was with my mom, thankfully. She's the best. So my recovery was fine postpartum. I don't feel like I had any real issues at postpartum. I mean, normal hormones.
Did you have any recovery follow-up like with your birth center at all? Like, did your midwife do any sort of postpartum follow-up?
So I didn't really have any contact with them until after the baby came, which also kind of turned me off. And I was like, I didn't like that. I just wanted to feel like supported. And
it sucks that like nobody could have gone with you to the hospital. Or there wasn't, even if they didn't have privileges, that they couldn't have come and just like be your support person or like things like
that. So I actually did have like a family friend who was my acting doula who came and sat with me through the whole entire thing. But once I was taken back for the C-section, she was like, all right, I'm going to go. Like she left, which not in a bad way. She just was trying to support me through a natural birth. And I think she knew that I was going to have like a big recovery and stuff like that. So she kind of just wanted to go her own way. And I'm glad she was there, but it was like, it was my last support person. The midwives came to my house 2 days later when I went home. So they came by and they checked everything. And I mean, at that point, I kind of didn't feel like I was really a patient of theirs anymore. Not to that they did anything. I just felt like it was like, I don't really have a provider at the moment. Like I just kind of felt alone in that sense. So I had a 6-week follow-up with them. Just they checked my stitches and said recovery was fine, and that was that. Never kind of had any contact with them again. And then we fast forward a year, and me and my boyfriend are like, okay, let's plan to have another one. So my daughter was planned as well. We got pregnant as soon as we tried. Thank Jesus, I am one of those people who, when we try, it happens. So that's always the easy part for us. And I actually didn't want to have a VBAC. I didn't really know what a VBAC was. I was just like, let's just do what we did last time. We'll go to OBGYN and see what happens. I don't know. And then I didn't go to the OBGYN until I was 12 weeks. I kind of tracked it myself because I was like, they're going to send me home and tell me to come back anyway. So I thought it was like 10 weeks and I went, and I actually was 12 weeks and they started just telling me my options, birthing options and stuff. And the lady that I had the first time I was there mentioned a VBAC. She was like, well, you're very active. You could be a candidate for a VBAC. You had a good recovery. And so she's explaining to me what a VBAC is. And I'm like, wow, okay. I definitely want to try that. Like, I am going to plan to train my mind and my body this time intentionally to do this. So I started doing my research. And then, of course, that's how I found this podcast. And I listened to you guys probably about 3 episodes. I would listen on the treadmill while I'm doing my walk because I was actually following like some ladies' birth program on Instagram, like doing all the stretches and all the things to stay active this time. Yeah. So I was like, well, let me listen to this podcast. I listened to Crime Junkies podcast, favorite podcast ever besides y'all, of course. And so I was like, well, let me listen to one that would be meaningful. And I can't remember the girl's name, but she labored for like 60 something hours. I listened to her podcast on was it you?
It might have been me.
I remember the title was like 66 grueling hours.
Oh, that was me.
It was you. It was you. Well, you're the one that made me realize I wanted to actually do this. Oh my God. I'm like in love.
Oh my God. That's so sweet. It was a long labor. I was
like, if she can do that, I can do it too. Like, are you serious?
Yeah,
that,
you can.
That is so possible.
Oh, I have chills.
Yes.
That's so cool.
So I went back and looked at the birthing center that I originally wanted that was the farther one. And I was like, 45-minute drive once a month or twice a month is worth my child's birth and me doing what I wanted to do. So I said, you know what? Let me do it. And once again, in like the 28th, 29th week, I called a birthing center like, hey, I really want to do this. And they were like, well, we don't accept people after this time. I had like 2 weeks to get it done. And I did. And I was like actually severely anemic this time.
Not again.
I did a transfusion. Yes, again. But this one time it was worse. My levels were really, really low. So they were like, if you can get your levels up, we'll accept you. And I had like 5 days to do this. So I found like these, I wish I knew the name so I could tell people the name of the pills I took, but it was like a natural iron pill that I took and actually a Special K iron cereal that I drank or that I ate every day with protein milk, and my levels skyrocketed. Like it was like the perfect mix.
Get it, girl?
I got my levels back up and they accepted me. And it was like the best thing ever. I'm so excited. Like, I think I'm going to do this. And I'm going every week because I was already in my third trimester. So I was already like every 2 weeks. And then we got to the 36-week mark. And I'm like, oh my gosh, not again. We're going to do this. I'm like talking myself into it. I'm listening to your podcast every day. Like I'm trying to do the positive, as much positive stuff. So we find out my belly folds like over and down in front of my pelvis. So it's hard for the baby to get in position. So once the midwife discovered that, they had me wear a belly band for like a couple hours a day. And that kind of helped. I kind of started feeling more pressure in my pelvis. And I'm like, yes, okay. Everything is new because I never felt anything with my first pregnancy.
Yes.
So everything to me, I'm like, yes, let's celebrate. The baby's going to come naturally. Like, this is great. I'm like feeling so good. And then I get to 40 weeks and I'm like, not again. please don't tell me this is happening again. Like, yeah. I'm like, okay. So I think about how I felt in my first pregnancy and I'm like, I'm not going to think like that. I'm going to keep trying to be positive, 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 positive. And the midwives are amazing. Premier Birth Center, they are amazing. Anybody in the Northern Virginia area that's thinking of a natural birth, they are like the best. There's three midwives there and it just felt like an instant connection, an instant home. They were so positive and they just made me feel like I could really, really, really do this. So I get to 41 and 3 days and I'm terrified. I'm like, I have like 3 to 4 days to get this baby out. Like I need everything. So they're just like laying out on the table. Here's everything you can do. Whatever you want to do, we fully support you. So that day, my sister, bless her heart, she took me to a water aerobics class. And we are in there with all these like older ladies and they're like, come on, girl, get that baby out. Work that baby out. And I'm like feeling all the love and people are just like cheering me on. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I think I can really, really get this baby out. Like I'm feeling so positive. And then the next day, so I'm going every day now because I'm already off of work. I'm going to the baby was due almost 2 weeks ago. So I'm going every day. And they're like, try this Chinese acupuncture foot massage. There's like pressure points in your feet that are connected to your uterus. And they recommend people go. There's actually one up the street from the birthing center that specializes in this. They say you go up there, you tell them you want to get your baby out. And we'll do a membrane sweep. So I'm like, all right, this is it. We're going to do it. It's going to start tonight. I go and 3 a.m. contractions. And I'm like, this is not real. Is this real? Is this a contraction? I'm like, okay, this is not like, I'm like psyching myself out and I'm like so excited. I'm like instantly in tears and nothing's happening. Just a contraction, you know, I'm like, but I never had one.
So redemptive. So redemptive.
It feels so good. So I'm like, okay. And mind you, my son is a toddler who still sleeps with me. Yes, we co-sleep till this day. And he's like sleeping and I'm like trying to have these contractions as quiet as possible, but they hurt and I'm excited. So I'm like, yes, yes, yes. I call my mom. I call my sister. I got the timer. Like, we're going to do this. I don't even need sleep. Like, let's just go. And I call the birthing center and they're like, okay, this is good news, but let's see where they go. Like, if they slow down, we don't want you to come here and it slows down and then you have to go to the hospital. So let's wait. I'm like, okay, let's wait. Let's have a normal day. I send my son to daycare. The contractions are like 10 minutes apart. For like the whole day. My sister and my mom come over because we're all just so excited. And then the contractions slow down and they're like 20 to 30 minutes apart. So I'm on my yoga ball. I'm like doing some stretches. I take a walk to the park. And it's so funny because I saw some neighbors and they're like, that baby is coming. Cause I'm like stopping every like couple steps and I'm like having contractions on this walk. And they're like watching me like, don't have the baby here. And they're like people are like concerned. And I'm just like, it's okay. We walk to the park. We come home. And they like kind of stop. They're not intense. They kind of just like little feelings every now and then. My son comes home and I'm like, hey, I think I'm going to have this baby. You need to go stay at my mom's house. So he goes and I get in the bathtub. And I remember just being in the bathtub and the contractions just start coming. And coming and coming and coming. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they're back. This is great. And then they stop again. So that goes on for like another 2 or 3 hours. And then it's coming on around the 24-hour mark. It's almost 3 a.m. again. And I'm in the bath for the 6th time today. And because only the water felt good. Like that's the only time I felt like the contractions were bearable sometimes. So I'm in the water. I'm laboring. Now I know that I was laboring. I didn't know that at the time, but now I know, like, oh my God, girl, you were totally laboring and you are the bomb. Like, you were strong. You were doing it. So I'm like, I'm laboring and I'm having the contractions. I call the birthing center and they're like, when they get a little closer, call us back. And I'm like, okay, 35 minutes go by. And now they're like 5 minutes apart. And I'm like, they're strong. They're strong. And they're like, this baby's coming. And I call them. And they're like, all right. Give us one more call in about an hour. We think it's almost time. So we're getting ready. And they just got so strong. I remember saying out loud, I give up. And I don't know why, because I was feeling so positive. And I was like, you know what? I give up. I don't care if I have another C-section. I need to go to the hospital right now because this is unbearable. I have no idea why I felt that way. And my boyfriend's like, okay, if that's what you want, call the birthing center and you tell them that. And then I'm like, oh, well, I don't really want that. So I call the birth center and I say, hey, the contractions are 3 minutes apart and I'm coming right now. And they're like, okay, come. I was lying, but I needed to leave my house. Like, I needed to leave my house. I don't think it would have progressed in my house. Like, looking back, I'm like, I needed to change the scenery.
Totally.
So
valid.
It's like 4 a.m., 5 a.m. And my boyfriend cannot drive more than 10 minutes without falling asleep. But I'm actually having contractions. So he had to drive. I remember, like, tapping him every time I had a contraction, squeezing his arm, like, we're going to get there. I only have to do 3 contractions and we can get there. 3 contractions and we can get there. So we get there, we walk in, we're ready, and they check me and I'm 4 centimeters. And I'm like, not again, this number 4. And I'm like, we're going to have this baby. What do I need to do? And the midwife was on it. She said, we're going to put this belly band on and we're going to suck this baby up into the right spot. It's going to get intense. You are going to be in pain, but your baby is going to come. And I'm like, okay, that's all I needed to know. She put this belly band on me and I lay down over like this ball, I remember. And I just laid there and breathed for like 4 minutes. And I stood up and just what I thought was a gush. And I call the midwife. I'm like, come. My water's broken. She's like, no, your water didn't break, but it's your mucus plug. And I'm like, oh my God, it is. Like, that never happened before. This is amazing. Am I in labor? Like, I'm asking all the questions like I haven't had a child, but I never had these things happen on my first birth. Yeah.
And it's so exciting, she's like, yeah, girl, when it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. You feel like I'm amazing. Like, totally. And I know to some people who have vaginal births, it's like, duh, like, obviously that happened. Like, it's not a big deal. But when it doesn't happen for you, when it finally does, it feels like a miracle.
Totally.
So my mucus plug comes out. I'm sitting on the couch and I'm like thinking of all the things I learned and studied. And I'm like, the ring of fire and all these things are going to happen. And I'm trying to mentally prepare. And then I just like jump off the couch and get on my knees. And I'm like, the baby is coming right now. And the midwife runs in and she's like, what'd you say? I'm like, the baby is coming. The baby is coming. The baby is coming. And all of a sudden she's like, pulls my pants down and my water breaks everywhere. I'm on my hands and knees and I'm like, feel like I'm swimming in a pool of water. I'm like, help me. Oh my God, help me, please. Like, she says this is the funniest birth she's ever been to. And it probably was because I
you
was
are just hilarious, like, just telling this story, and I can't even imagine you in labor. It's probably really fun.
Yeah, I'm like, is this serious? I'm like, please help me. She's like, I'm gonna help you. Don't worry, it's why I'm here. I'm like, turn on the bath. I'm like telling her what to do, and I'm like, load the tub. Like, I'm gonna have the baby. I'm ready. And then my mind shifts back to, you had a C-section. Like, that negative talk, just, it's so hard to keep it out. And I'm like, I can't do it. And she's like, yes, you can. When people say that, that means the baby's coming. And I'm like, no, I can't do it. I have to poop so bad. And I'm like panicking. And she's like, the tub is filling and you're about to have this baby. So I'm like, I need water. So she turns on the shower. I'm standing in the shower and I'm like, the pressure, the baby is just dropping and dropping and dropping. And I'm like, I'm going to do this. It takes like what it feels like 4 years for this tub to fill up. It was probably like 40 minutes. And I get in and I'm just so uncomfortable because I don't want to be sitting down like in a chair. So I get on my hands and knees and I think about 20 minutes of pushing, maybe about 5 or 6 just hard, like laboring down pushes. And she came out. Well, I didn't know it was a she. Her gender was a secret. The baby popped out. And it was just like a relief of everything. Yeah. Like, not only the pressure of the baby coming out, but like, I did it. And all the people who said like, you can't do it. And all the people were like, you have to have C-sections. I just felt like, haha, everybody was wrong. I did this. Like, I didn't care if I tore. I didn't care about anything. I was like, my baby is here. My baby is healthy. And I just had a vaginal birth. Like, I am amazing. Yeah. And that's how I really felt. And I feel like now I feel how empowering it is for any woman that has a vaginal birth, but it's something special about doing it after a C-section. Like, you it are really just is. On cloud nine. So she came and it was amazing. My placenta came out like 10 minutes later. I did have a second degree tear. I only had to get 6 stitches, and that felt like I didn't care at all because my baby was here and I just had a vaginal birth. And the euphoria that you feel after that, it just is like, I want to have another one. Like, I'm already like, I can do that again and I can do it better. Like, it feels like a challenge now. Like, it's like, yeah. I trained for that. And it's like training for a sport or a marathon. It's like, mm-hmm. once you reach the end, you feel like so good that it happened. And yeah, that's just how it went down and how I had it. Like, it's just such a exciting story. Anytime anybody brings up birth, I'm like, you can do it. You can. Did you do this? And did you do that? Did you try natural? And I'm just like, listen to this podcast. Like, even if you didn't have a C-section, just hearing positive stories and hearing women talk mm-hmm. so positively about birth and so open about advocating for yourself and knowing what you want and listening to your body, it really does change your perspective and like your mindset going into having a birth.
It does. So what was your postpartum experience like this time, especially compared to like how the other birth center managed your care postpartum compared to this? Like, I'm curious to know.
Oh my gosh. So you are only allowed to stay there for 4 hours and then they send you mm-hmm. home. I got lucky. I think they just really like me, is what I tell myself. They said they were so busy that day. I think there was another woman in labor, really. But they were so busy that day, I stayed for 7 hours. So I got to, like, hang out and eat good food. And I just felt like it was, like, a family. Like, I remember one of the other midwives who wasn't there for my birth coming in and just hugging me. She was like, I knew you were going to do it. And I just, like, started crying. Like, she just made me feel so good. Like, you believe that I was going to do it. Even when I was like second guessing it, like, she was like, no, mm-hmm. I knew you could do it and you did it. And I'm so proud of you. And it just felt so good to hear other people say that because you don't always say that to yourself.
Totally.
So, and then they came to my house 2 days later. I think I went to the birthing center 2 weeks later for a checkup. And then again, at 6 weeks. So I felt like so supported the entire time.
Wow. Ugh. Brie, if you could give like your best advice to the mom who just had a C-section, who just found the VBAC link, and she's thinking about what her future birth could look like, what would you say to that mama?
I would say to decide what kind of birth you want and then practice having that birth. It sounds crazy, but when you imagine yourself actually doing it, when you're in the moment, you kind of are prepared and your body doesn't know if it's practice or if it's real. So if you're doing it for practice, you're just going to teach your body like to trust yourself and to feel your intuition, like to feel your baby coming out. Like, just imagine yourself doing it over and over and over. And while you're imagining it, listen to positive stories. So when you're negative thinking while you're imagining, that positive story is there, that it pushes your negative thoughts out directly. So I would just say to keep believing yourself, trust your body, and just keep seeing yourself have the birth you want. If you want to have a water birth, sit in a tub and imagine having a water birth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it sounds so simple, but like that easy fix, I think it helps when your mind plays tricks on you, just to imagine it and just know that you can do it. Anybody can do it.
I love that. Well, and it's like training before a race. And your body is just like, the race is the time to just enjoy it and go through it. And it's not the time to train really, because you've already done that.
Yes.
But it's so fun, Brie, to see you literally light up. Like, your whole body is lit up and you're beaming and you're glowing, talking about it. And even just the shift in when you're talking about your care the first time to then talking about your care and how loved you felt and how supported you felt and how empowered you felt. Versus like when you were talking about your C-section and how exposed you felt and scared and alone. And it's just such a testament that birth, and it's not like, well, and things were very different, but you did go past your due date with both. Yeah. So there are some parallels.
And had some anemia again. Like,
yeah,
that's huge that it looked different.
Yep. And you worked through that mentally, which can be really tough when that comes up in a similar way. But I'm just so proud of you. So excited.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. I feel like I found something that I want to pursue and might be passionate about, just sharing positive birth stories. And I never would have thought, I'm just it is related to, I guess, health and PE, being a teacher. I'm glad that you said that, because people are always you're so excited when you talk about birth. And I'm because it is so exciting, and women should feel excited about giving birth, and every woman should feel confident in giving birth.
Yeah. It's funny. So my degree is fitness and health promotion. And I always say, well, that's being a doula. That's the same.
Right. Right. Oh, it's so close.
Super close. PE teacher, doula, birth extraordinaire.
I mean, exactly. I teach kids about it. And it's funny because I was teaching kids about sex ed when I was pregnant going through all of this. And so I'm kind of learning on the side, and then I'm going to tell the sixth graders, and they're too much.
I remember watching a video of birth in I don't know what it was, but some kind of health class at school.
Yes.
And everyone was talking about it, and they're like, oh, you have to watch the baby being born, the birth video. And I remember watching, I was so scared to watch it. And then it was our time for our class to see it. And I was like, wait, that's beautiful. That's actually really special. Anyway, so that's really good.
And I'm like, guys, look what I did. I did this. And they're like, ew, no, let's just learn it the old way. And I'm like, oh. Sorry, you guys don't want to hear about my VBAC? The kids are like, what is that?
I think though, how special to have someone, I think this all the time, how special to have birth be normalized as a student. And it's so easy to see Grey's Anatomy or the scary birth video, or it feels so scary, but how beautiful that they have they have a teacher in their corner that believes that birth is super cool, you know? And
And some
how
of
much
moms
would that change us?
Their moms would email me, thank you so much. My child was asking me questions about my birth. And the kids are telling stories, my mom did this and my mom did this. And some kids told a total impossible story about, I was I don't think your mom told you that, but who cares? They're all talking about birth in a positive way, boys and girls, and they're 11.
Yeah, I think that's life-changing, truly. That changes their trajectory. Just imagine if that's how we had been spoken to, you know, as students.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It would definitely have changed, at least our mindset.
Yesterday was Lily's VBAC baby's birthday.
It was, yes. Birthday. So you were listening to my story. She just turned one. So yeah, it was her birthday yesterday.
Congratulations to you too. That's a milestone for you as well.
Oh, thank you. I know. It's
to have me on the show.
I know. I can't believe you listened to it. That's so special.
I can't believe it was, and I literally remember seeing the title, and I want to go back and see if your picture is there now.
It probably is. Yeah. I think it's me grabbing her out of the water. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That is amazing. It's funny how things really fit like that in the universe.
It is. Yeah. It's so fun. Well, Bree, thank you so much for being on and sharing your story. We love you and we're proud of you. And thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I love you guys. You guys are doing the Lord's work. It's amazing. I share your podcast with everybody.
Aww.
Would you like to be a guest on the podcast? Head over to thevbacklink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbacklink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode and for being a part of our community. One of my favorite parts of the VBAC Link is the community itself. When I was pregnant and planning for a VBA 2C, the VBAC Link community group on Facebook truly became a virtual village for me. It's where I could see real VBAC stories, ask questions without judgment, and get encouragement from people who genuinely understood what I was preparing for. If you are planning a VBAC and want support as you get ready, head over to Facebook and search the VBAC Link community, because women of strength become even stronger together.